Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show today. And it is a good show. We have in the studio Lisa Swerdlow, an accomplished pianist and composer. And we're going to be talking all about her new release, her new concerto entitled Coming to America, and also what it means to live a life dedicated to music. Welcome, Lisa, to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kara.
Lisa, you're currently living in the Sierra foothills of Northern California, but as far as I understand, you were raised in LA, and you are a composer and a pianist. Did you have a lot of music happening in your house while growing up?
My house was always filled with music. My father was an accomplished accordion player and mandolin player, as well as piano. And my mother played piano, and my brother was a guitarist. And we always had music playing on our Zenith stereo. And there was, music was just a very integral part of our lives. I was always surprised when I'd go to someone's house, a friend of mine, and there was no piano. I always thought that every house had a piano and that everyone had piano lessons.
Every house should have a piano, my opinion. All right. But anyway, sometimes
absolutely.
It's not possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but I think it does kind of belong in every house, just like a bookshelf. Houses need pianos.
They do, and they need to be something other than where you put your plants and your pictures. You know, many pianos have become bases for family pictures and plants. But now with digital pianos, it just seems like everyone should have one.
Yeah. Your path has been quite eclectic. You started as a young girl, I believe with six, you started playing, like every child probably plays, Beethoven's Für Elise and the Bach's Prelude in C. And then you got a little bit older, and then I was reading that you were playing in all the coffee houses in L.A., and you were playing in a rock and roll band in San Francisco, and you were even playing with a 10-piece all-women's salsa band, inspired by some of the great songwriters that I know very well, Laura Nyro, Carole King, Burt Bacharach, and great pianists such as Keith Jarrett. Do you consider yourself a crossover artist? Because this new concerto is a classical piece. So are you merging and blending and very comfortable moving between genres?
Yes, I find that I feel that my music and my composing is evolving and I'm discovering my classical roots more. Mm-hmm. The genre that is relatively new and not every streaming service offers it is called neoclassical or classical crossover, which is very much of the classical roots, but I feel it's much more accessible to more people than some of the old classical composers. And I feel that as an artist, I've been growing and evolving. And as an independent artist, I can just write whatever comes to me. And I'm comfortable with that. I was on a label for a few years that was New Age music. And I started feeling confined by that, that it was not necessarily what I wanted to write. And so since I've been an independent artist now for about 2 years, I just feel that music comes through me, and whatever it is, that's, there's not necessarily a genre that I fit into.
Yeah, good for you. Exactly. I told a journalist once that I like to wear the shoes, not the boxes, right? So so it's good to know that you're willing actually to listen to spirit and allow that to move through you and to write what you feel is your expression and your truth, right? Everybody is unique. You came here today with a very powerful story. It's a story about love, faith, hope, resilience. And for me, it's a story also that transcends or that goes beyond just this one album or this one release, which is the new concerto coming to America. It's a story about courage. And what I understand is that during the last year or two, you also were faced with these very strong, well, these situations. Your homestead, we said at the top of the show that you're, you know, living in Northern California, so I believe you were impacted by the wildfires. I read that you had a cancer diagnosis, that your partner went through COVID. So during this time of being faced with these obstacles, is this the moment when you also were suddenly very strongly connected to your ancestors and what they might have gone through making that big journey to come to America, to cross oceans, to leave everything behind them?
Well, I wasn't the only person that found 2020 a very difficult year.
Yeah.
I started writing the concerto prior to some of the medical crisis that beset my family. And yet, I've been dealing with cancer since 2006.
Wow.
And it became stage four in 2013. And that's when I returned to composing and playing the piano. I had taken a hiatus for many years to build a business that I owned. I found that returning to the piano and composing was part of the healing modality that is why I am still here when the doctors told me I had a 1 in 5 chance of being here in 5 years.
And powerful.
It's been 8.5 years. But last year, unfortunately, they did find a tumor. But I had treatment on that tumor, and so far I'm doing well. But there was a period where I was in the middle of writing the concerto, and everything that was happening to my family just felt like a outward physical manifestation of my inner journey into my ancestors at that point, of the struggle, the strife, the not knowing, the fear, the have to have faith and belief that the world was not flat and that they were going to arrive in America and be able to have the opportunity that America symbolized to the world. So there was a synchronicity there, but the concerto was in process before some of these other events took place.
I'd like to play the first movement from the new concerto. And this is probably your most ambitious and personal work yet. And what story would you like to share with us about this first movement, which is entitled Home of My Ancestors. Maybe first we should share with our listeners, where are your ancestors from? And why was it so important that they come to America, and how incredibly difficult it must have been to leave everything behind them and to get on a boat where they really didn't know anybody at all, and they didn't know if they'd make it. So maybe before we listen to Home of My Ancestors, you share with our audience, where they were at home.
No problem. My grandparents, and I actually have three sets because my mother was adopted, mm-hmm. all came from what is now Ukraine, but mm-hmm. at the time it was Russia. And this was at the turn of the last century, between 1907 and 1910. Mm-hmm. What was happening in Russia at that time, this is prior to the revolution, so the Tsar was still ruling Russia, and he had a grudge against the Jewish people that had lived there for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he would occasionally send his army out to just create havoc, mm-hmm. you know, burn villages, kill livestock, just create fear for no reason other than, I suppose, he took pleasure in it. Mm-hmm. And those were called the pogroms. Mm-hmm. And during the period between 1880 and about 1925, more than 2 million Jews left Russia because it became very difficult to live there. My grandparents were those people that left friends and family behind to come to America. Now, when I started writing the first movement, I did not know, and I rarely do know, I don't set out to write, I'm going to write about my grandparents coming to mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. That's not how music comes through me. I will start to write. And when I started to write this piece, in the first four or five measures, I felt this is something old coming through me. This is not anything I've ever written before. And I just followed where it went. And I almost felt that my mother's mother and father, or her adopted mother and father, who were my grandparents. I never mm-hmm. met mm-hmm. her natal family. I had a sense that they were just standing behind me, explaining to me what was going on. And mm-hmm. the music was just coming through me. And so the first movement has a very Eastern European klezmer feel to it. I made sure in the orchestration that was done by Doug Hammer that we had clarinet and violin and cello in there, because that added to the klezmer feel. Piano was not a klezmer per se instrument, accordion was, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. my piano is my addition here to this particular ethnic sound. So that's how the first movement came. I was finding that as my grandparents were speaking through me, what it was like to live in their towns and in their villages, the celebrations, the laughter, the joy, the hard work. And then they told me in their own way, don't forget there's going to be some trouble, because that's what life was like. And so there's a point in the piece where I envisioned what it must have been like to have the interruption. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then the resolution in the piece is that life goes on, and it made my people, my ancestors, a stronger people, but they had to leave. It was too hard to manage there.
It was too hard. Let's listen to Home of My Ancestors. And after that, we're going to go right into the break. So let's go into Home of My Ancestors, the first movement off of this concerto, and then we'll be back and talk more about Lisa Swerdlow's work.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is the composer and pianist, Lisa Swerdlow, and we are talking about her new release, her new concerto coming to America. Lisa, this new album is representative of your family as well as people everywhere in the world who dream of a better life or a safer place. How much pain and fear must we walk away from to take that big step? And what are we as a humanity being asked to remember?
Well, that's a big question, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
Many people right now are in a position of suffering because mm-hmm. what is happening in their homeland is unsustainable. What to do about it? We talk often about here in America, we talk about, well, what do we do with all these people? Do we send them back? Do we give them asylum? And I think the big question is, why are these people having to leave their homeland?
Yes.
And what can we do as a global community to help heal what's going on in their homeland so that they could continue to live and thrive where they want to be? I don't think people just necessarily go one day, oh, I think I want to make a 3,000-mile journey in an old pair of shoes. To see what America is about. I think that people are forced to flee for various yes. reasons, usually violent, especially women. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the answer to these big questions, but I do know that in writing the concerto, I knew this wasn't just my story, that this was a story of many people's journey. For the last 130, 40 years, the Irish, the Italians, the Germans, the Jews. Now we have the Afghanistan people. We have Syrians. We have Iraqis. We have the Haitian people, people from El Salvador, all over the world. And I don't think we are even the least bit prepared for what's to come with climate migration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the questions that I think are being raised now is what does it mean to be a nation? And how much do we allow other people to venture into our boundaries? And we could talk about, with COVID, we were all very aware of our personal boundaries and how we were going to let, how close we were going to let people into our personal boundaries. You know, well, I feel that, as I've said, our personal experience is just a reflection of the greater experience that's going on right now.
There's a beautiful Yiddish word, which we have a lot in Germany. It's Mensch. I don't know the word in English, because if you say, what does it mean to be human? It's very different. I mean, I'm an American, but living in Germany, than the word Mensch. And I think that we are being asked also to expand our compassion, because I think if everybody started to look at the journeys of what you said from, you know, look at Afghanistan, look at Syria, look at all the migrations that are happening, and even within America, I mean, even with wildfires, people losing their homes, mm-hmm. having to move states, I mean, even, you know, people that are within our own country having to find other states, other work, move from the south to the north to the south, wherever, east to west, we've had less judgment and much more compassion happening. I want to move into your second movement, and the second movement is called The Crossing. And I think this is where we really get those, or at least I get the pictures in my mind. My ancestors came not only from Hungary, Austria, but Norway and Ireland, and they also made these big crossings in a boat. And it sounds, you know, lovely, right, to go with the waves. But most of them, they got sick. People lost their babies. They lost their children. It was not easy to arrive even in America. And then when you arrived in America, you often were arriving with very little in as your possession. And I think the thing that touches me the most, as this is a voice show or about music and sound, is that not only did they leave behind their lands and their things, quote unquote, but often they had to leave their language. I mean, they were mm-hmm. coming, they arrived in a very not only a different place, but you know, when we move maybe between Canada and the States or whatever, we still maybe have an inkling of what's happening. The language extinction that's happening currently is extreme, but they also were struggling with that. So what would you like to share with us about the second movement, The Crossing?
Well, The Crossing was interesting because I wrote that piece in 2 days, which is mm-hmm. highly unusual. It just flowed through me. And as I was writing it, I was even crying because it mm-hmm. felt like I was transported onto those ships. And yes, there were no Carnival cruises back then. Those were mm-hmm. Most of the time, Jews were not allowed to be in first class. So they were usually in steerage. Sometimes they even were slept on the bow of the boat. Mm-hmm. And it was a difficult passage. Even getting to, I checked with Ellis or ellisisland.org, the manifest, and I saw the boat that my grandparents came over on, and they all had left from Dublin, but they somehow mm-hmm. got from Ukraine to Dublin. And I figured right. that was probably by train, walking, who knows? I mean, this was in 1907, a long time ago. But the crossing, I imagined it wasn't just the physical struggle, though there that was definitely evident. But here they were saying goodbye to, you know, everything. They all had like one or two suitcases. And they did not know the language that they were going to. They did not know the currency.
Right.
They did not know what the values were of the United States. They just had heard of America. It was more of a concept to them than an actual physical location. Mm-hmm. So there was a certain way that being on the boat provided them shelter and safety for a while. And at the same time, there was a lot of anxiety about what they were going to find once they arrived in America. Many Jews were turned away. Not mm-hmm. everyone that arrived at Ellis, Oregon was allowed to stay. So there probably was that anxiety as well. So I just envisioned what the crossing must have been like. And my father's mother and my father's father actually met on the ship coming to America. Mm. My grandmother was ill. She was seasick. And my grandfather mm-hmm. was traveling with two brothers of his. And he started to take care of her. And they fell in love. And when they came to America, they got married.
Oh,
so there was also,
story.
Yeah, there was romance happening as well as there was people, like you said, people lost their babies. People were very sick. It was not the cleanest of conditions, I'm sure. So again, now in our day and age, people are undergoing great, great journeys with very few possessions, very difficult journeys to make to try and come to America. And they also mm-hmm. don't know if they're going to be turned away at our boundaries. So this is a classic story that is timeless.
It is timeless.
I was just going to say that's how the crossing evolved.
Evolved. I was thinking of my friends that had to leave Syria after the bombs started falling. They actually didn't want to. They held on to their engineers, so they didn't want to leave their house and work and everything. And when they got to the border and tried to get on a boat, I mean, having walked then through Turkey and then tried to get on this boat that's going to take them, this little dinghy with too many people, they had, you know, they weren't, the people at the borders, they stripped people of everything. I mean, if they had any gold, you know, sewn into their seams, it was all gone. The people came with nothing. And I think, too, just the idea, even if somebody walked from Ukraine to, or Russia at that time, to Dublin or took trains, just to carry two suitcases. I mean, just to carry, right? All that way is immense. Let's listen to The Crossing, which is the second movement, and maybe we all just close our eyes and also remember our own ancestry and where we've come from and how many people have sacrificed things for, you know, allowing us to also come to new places and new beginnings.
Thank you.
bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstadt, and with me in studio is the composer and pianist, Lisa Swerdlow. And we're talking about her new release, her new concerto, and it's entitled Coming to America. Lisa, we just heard the second movement, which was called The Crossing. And your parents came to America, and before they landed on the shores of America, they did look up to that symbol that we have, which is the Statue of Liberty. And many people may not know the story, but 3 years before the Statue of Liberty was dedicated, it was given to us by France, but we had to figure out how to get the pedestal happening. So there was a lot of, there were a lot of movements to gather money. And there was one Jewish American writer named Emma Lazarus, who wrote a poem that became very important called The New Colossus. And she was helping a lot of Russian Jews that were trying to flee to the United States. And one of the lines in the poem that you see on the Statue of Liberty is, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." I mean, I've read before that it's also, they talk about freedom, but those are the lines from her original poem. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. What do you feel as an artist when you hear those words? And what do you think about when you imagine your grandparents setting foot in this new country where they're not at home anymore in Russia, but they're also not at home in America?
I'm sure it was a complicated emotional place for them at that time. When mm-hmm. I hear those words, I feel proud to be living in this country. Mm-hmm. We have not lived up to those ideals, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but we are a work in progress. I'm sure for my grandparents and many people's grandparents and great-grandparents and even parents, those words are the most welcoming that they've ever heard. Because where else in the world are those words inscribed on such a towering figure as the Statue of Liberty with her torch? Mm-hmm. That is lighting mm-hmm. their way as they come into New York Harbor. There, I selected the cover to the concerto out of some historical photos that I found that just showed people on the bow of the ship coming into New York Harbor, seeing the Statue of Liberty, and just feeling so much joy at what she symbolizes. And so my last movement, The Arrival, is how I envisioned that emotional anticipation, nervousness. Again, as we discussed, these people did not know the language. They did not know the values, the currency. They did not have a job. They didn't have a place to stay. That, to me, is courage and faith beyond anything I personally have ever been faced with. Mm-hmm. And I imagine, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise ship, but I've been on several. And there's a point where you're coming into the harbor and you can feel the engines go into reverse because that's how the boat slows down. And there's a point in the piece where I felt the engines were reversing, and the anticipation, the anxiety was starting to transform into excitement. And the whole concerto is really about reaffirming that we are survivors, that we can go through our own shadows, our own darkest nights, our own personal transforming emigration, and that we can come out to a place of a new beginning, a new sense of ourselves. I know I have gone through that. And I imagine that people who came to this country back then and still now have a certain sense of joy and safety just being here from where they came from. And I was trying to bring that across in the final movement, The Arrival.
Beautiful. Let's listen to the final movement, The Arrival, from Lisa Swerdlow's newest work, her concerto, Coming to America.
Thank you.
That was the third movement from Lisa Swerdlow's new concerto, Coming to America. Lisa's with me in studio. Lisa, one of your hopes was to tell the story of your ancestors, but like you said, of all the people in the world that have had to leave their homelands and then start a new chapter in their new lands, you wanted to give your ancestors voice. What is the message that you believe they would love us to embody?
Resiliency.
Resiliency.
That, yeah, resiliency. These people were very resilient. And yes. I'm here because they had the courage and the determination to make this journey for a better life.
Yeah.
Better life for their children and thereby their children's children. Because had they not made the journey, I would not have been born here. And for all of the shade that we could throw on America these days, it is still, I believe, one of the places that in this world you can still be who you want to be and mm-hmm. live your life with more freedom than anywhere else in this world
in
right
now. In the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You
and
believe.
So I'm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
No, I was going to say, you believe music can be also a vehicle to healing our hearts as well as healing the planet. And on your
Absolutely.
Facebook page, you really invite your fans and your friends to share also their stories of healing, their stories of immigration. And what have you learned from your community? And also, what role does community play in our healing as a collective?
Well, it's interesting. The sense of community is one that I think is also evolving and changing. For instance, my ancestors were very tribal. And mm-hmm. even once the Jewish people landed on these shores, they did not venture out of the safety of their community for a whole generation. In fact, I remember growing up, I never met someone who wasn't Jewish until I went to elementary school mm-hmm. because my parents were very tribal in that respect. And I think that that is still how many ethnic and racial communities live. They're still very tribal, but that is usually first, maybe into second generation. And then the third generations, we are becoming much more assimilated and mm-hmm. into a diverse culture and enjoying the diversity of that culture. And so community is changing in that community doesn't necessarily mean someone from your tribe. It could mean many things. And music, I think, is one of the threads on the loom that weave these communities together. I played salsa music for several years in a band, and that brought me into a community that was not my community. Mm-hmm. But through music, I was welcomed into that community. And if you listen these days to what people are drawn to musically, it's so many world beats are integrating into our musical themes. And I think that's wonderful because they're a gift. Every nation, every community, every religion, every ethnic group, cultural group has their music and they offer it as a gift to the world. And I think that that's what's so healing is that we can all become familiar with the other through music so that that distinction of them being the other will start to dissolve more and more with each generation.
It's one of the beauties, I think, of the streaming services. So there is a lot of also opinions on, you know, how horrible they are. But there was a big monopoly on labels and distributors before. And now with all the independent artists out there that are able to release through streaming services, you are able to put playlists together exactly, you know, with, you know, different, you know, Middle Eastern music together with music from Japan, with the koto together with auto harp together with dulcimer, banjo, guitar, rock and roll, classical, and it's wonderful. It's really inspiring. It's very inspiring.
Well, streaming services have certainly democratized music in that it, like you say, you no longer have to be on a label that is, you know, making money off of you.
Yeah.
But streaming services need to start paying the artists better.
Yes.
That is the main complaint that most of my colleagues have, is that they're making money off of us too, and we're not being remunerated in the way that we feel our talents should be.
Yeah.
However,
that is very true. Yes. Yeah.
When I think about some of the music I've been drawn to over the years, there's Egyptian music I've really enjoyed. There's Lebanese music. There's music that my grandparents would have been just so unfamiliar with. And yet for me now, I can just, you know, go onto Spotify and look at someone's playlist and be turned on to sounds that are completely unfamiliar to me, but just absolutely beautiful. So I think that that is where music is going to take us, where you can have endless speeches, you know, endless classes on diversity, you know, endless laws and rules about, you know, what is politically correct or incorrect. They make a difference, but not like what music does. I think music is going to be what ultimately brings us all together as one global family.
Beautiful.
At least
Lisa,
I
want
so.
To... Yes, I think that's a beautiful thought to close the show on, that music is a universal language. We have the unity consciousness. We are here to come together as a global family and also as a planet. So all beings, all animals, plants, you know, everything that is part of this this journey. So we're going to end the show. Thank you so much for being with me today. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for having me, Cara. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.